Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak livery, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP, the Bengals podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. This is the Deuce as we get our eyes looking forward to Tennessee. Bengals at Titans, 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 Central. We're going into the Central time zone, Jim.
Yeah.
That only means one thing. You're going to get confused about what time it is a lot.
Yes.
Well, what you're Central, you're usually okay because you spend so much time in the Central.
Yeah.
When we go out West,
it's over.
No one's more confused.
You need to really, like, make sure I show up for Denver. Like, I'll be there.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not I'm actually, you know, going to be at the stadium.
Aware of what time it is.
Yes.
It's a problem. So I'll be giving you reminders, even though you're in a familiar-ish time zone. 12 o'clock Central, 1 o'clock Eastern. Bengals at the Titans. And, you know, here's an understatement. The Bengals could use a win.
Yeah.
Here's an understatement. It's not going to happen, probably.
No.
It doesn't look great.
No, it doesn't. And we're going to say this all year long. They could be, you know, going into Pittsburgh 4-7, whatever, Monday night, and I still don't think Pittsburgh's any good. And I'll be like, well, they could win. I think we're going to say that all year long because I think the conference is so bad, the division's so bad.
You're still not sold on Pittsburgh?
No.
Yeah.
And I'm not sold on the NFC North.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't care about going to Minnesota and Zim and all that. I mean, they're trash too.
Teddy Bridge will be playing by that
Whatever.
Point.
You know, yeah, sure. So we'll say it. But you know, at some point, Paul, it turns into if this team could win a lot but loses everything, what does that really say? That means this team wasn't very good.
Yeah.
We might
know that already.
Yeah. So they kind of need to put it this way: they need to win.
They do.
If they want to be,
they
you
do.
Know,
they
need mediocre.
A massive bounce back.
Yeah.
They need a win that looks the exact opposite on the spectrum that last week did. Yeah. Although they could win ugly and it wouldn't matter. They basically need to win, but to have hope, they've got to show some sort of progress. We talked about it a lot on Monday. I don't really know where that's coming from. Let's go through the news of the week here.
Yeah.
We're gonna have some news of the week that we got. Going, we're going to get into Bill Lazor. We talked to the offensive coordinator this week. He had some interesting things to say. We're going to kind of get into that, which will play into your game day story on Sunday, which is on solutions. What the hell are the solutions at this point? We're going to preview some specifics on Tennessee. Well, optimistic Bobby, 50 West Brewery owner, Bobby Slattery is going to come in. There's some funny stuff in there this week. I'll tell you that much. But he's going to ask us some questions about fans. And Chris Smith was our guest on BTS on Tuesday. He is such a good dude, and he was just fantastic.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun on the show. Doc had a lot of fun with them, so you're the hot seat for you if you want to listen to that. This coming Tuesday on Beyond the Stripes, we have George Iloka.
Oh, okay,
old favorite.
Yeah.
Every year, George has to come on and we have a blast. He's we're gonna talk a lot about his proposal costume, his
Halloween costume.
Maybe we should have him bring his costumes, because this has been the year of George dressing up and going viral.
Right.
Basically. I mean, he's been all over it. So we'll talk to him about that. That's Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Holy Grail Banks, come on down and check that out. All right, let's talk about news of the week. Jake Fisher was placed on IR.
Yeah.
And Eric Winston's back.
Yeah.
What's that do for you?
Nothing.
He's a guy that they have to have somebody.
I mean, and I think all you need to know about where, you know, Eric Winston's at in his career is, A, he couldn't make this club and this line out of camp, and then all of the offensive linemen who have gone away this year through 9 weeks, and he was still available and didn't even, like, get a tryout.
No.
Or sign for a week or two. I mean.
He kind of said to us, yeah, I was a little surprised that with all, when you look around what's happening in the league,
right,
AKA, there's dumpster fires on the offensive lines everywhere, yeah, that no one gave him a call. But you're right. I think that tells you what he looked like in preseason,
yeah,
and what he has looked like for a little while. But, you know, they need a body. They need a body who can go in there and know what the calls are,
yeah,
if in case something happens. But now you've got Jake, you have Cedric Abueye at left tackle and Andre Smith at right tackle, and no more of the rotation stuff, which Marvin Lewis told me was not a reason at all why they weren't playing bad. They were just trying to get somebody to step up and kind of
assume, win a job
and, you know, trying to motivate, I guess.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working.
No.
Although he seemed to suggest that maybe he was seeing progress in Jake.
Yeah, maybe.
But that could be a thing of giving him some hope, yeah, through his rehab or whatever. Which, so your question is, well, why is Jake going on IR? Well, he went to the hospital on Sunday. Everyone was very vague about what had happened to him. We really don't have any right to this information. He went on the non-football injury list.
Yeah.
That's stuff that, what, it's his own personal business,
yeah,
at that point. And when asked, when Marvin Lewis to us in the press conference on Wednesday was asked for specifics on what is going on with Jake Fisher, he said, that's nothing you need to know.
Yeah.
That was Wednesday afternoon. Thursday morning on national radio, he tells Ross Tucker and Sirius XM he has an irregular heartbeat.
Right.
And that's what he's dealing with.
Yeah.
I don't know why Marvin does these things.
No.
I honestly don't care.
No.
I'm not going to get out of whack about it.
No.
People are like, can you believe he did this to you? I don't think it's vindictive.
No.
I think he's clumsy with this stuff, and I don't – and maybe that's a little insight into how players,
right,
deal. But I don't – to me, it's not some vindictive screw-the-local-media thing. I just think he's clumsy with this stuff, particularly when it comes to sitting on the podium, which after 15 years is hard to believe.
Yeah, I think that's just what it is too. I mean, he tends to say things when he goes on radio shows.
Yep.
Not even nationally, even locally, he's dropped stuff on the local radio hits. I mean, there's been a lot of gaffes.
There's been some gaffes.
You know, and injury stuff or whatever. So
stature stuff.
Yeah. So I'm not really. you're right. I don't really think that it's a calculated. Look, Marvin. Now I will say, I think Marvin is smarter with the media than he comes across at times. But in instances like this specifically, I think he just, with cameras in his face, on a podium, he didn't want to say it.
Yep.
And, you know, the next day, sitting in his office, on the phone with a cup of coffee, I think it just comes out.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, but I think the thing is, you know, this just shines an even brighter light on this tackle situation, Paul, because, yeah, I mean, maybe he thought Jake Fisher was getting better. Clearly he wasn't. He was still rotating.
Yeah.
He was the only one rotating. Now, maybe it has something to do with him not feeling well. I mean, I can only imagine if an irregular heartbeat takes you out of a game, you go to a hospital, and now you got to get a procedure done. You know, I'm sure we'll hear about it in camp. This is why, you know, Jake wasn't able to go full speed, or he wasn't able to recover right, or he wasn't – I mean – you know, and you hope the kid's okay, but from a football perspective,
yeah,
you don't know. You don't know anything about him.
No.
Going into a contract year.
I know enough.
Well, yeah.
I feel like I know enough.
Yeah, I do too. I think so.
I think we know enough about almost everybody on this offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, so that's sort of where that is. So from this point forward, it'll be Obwehi at left. It'll be Smith at right tackle, and the Bengals will go forward that way.
Yeah.
After that, what as far as other news going on this week, they still have two kickers on the roster.
They do.
Remember when two kickers was supposed to be like a thing that they were maybe going to do as a good thing, which earlier in the year. Now it's a very bad thing.
Well, because they don't have
they don't know what's going on.
They don't have the kicker who's yelling, "You like that?" I mean, Jake Elliott never said you like that, but he might have.
He might have. Which I'm still curious because Jake Elliott, who missed a couple extra points this past week, I'm still curious what's going to happen.
He's missed six kicks.
He's missed six kicks, yeah.
It's one of those things, Paul, where people are so mad about it, and I get it. I mean, they were mad at the time.
He's kicked a lot of 50-pluses for him.
He's kicked a lot of 50-plus. That's why they liked him. He has leg strength. We wrote about it a lot, actually. But he's inconsistent, which is why he didn't make this team.
Yeah.
Randy
Bullock's missed two kicks.
Yeah, one of which was blocked. Like total protection breakdown.
22 of 24 with a block, so 22 of 23.
Yeah, I definitely, the block was not on him.
No.
So it's interesting because someone tweeted at me like, oh, they should have taken a risk, go with the young guy. I'm like, would you say that if they're 1-7? Because Jake Fisher missed three extra points and Jake Elliott missed a kick. And, yeah, Randy Bullock missed what probably was an important one in Green Bay. But
his only miss.
You know, it's as that game played out, there was other issues, clearly. So.
And you can't hold the fact that Randy Bullock hasn't had 50-plus opportunities against
him.
Yeah,
no, that's – yeah.
He made all of them when in preseason, in the camp. I mean, I'm not going back there, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Anyway, and you can't predict injuries.
I'm just curious what's going to happen because
Jake Elliott might be available.
Jake Elliott might be back out there.
Yeah,
is my point. Anyway, so as far as our boy Marshall goes, you talked to him.
Yeah.
He's had a crazy 5 days. But Darren Simmons basically said, "Here's the deal. You know, Randy Bullock kicked last week, and then all of a sudden felt some soreness the next day on Friday." And they're like, well, you know, maybe he'll feel better. So the comeback kick on Saturday, but they didn't know how he's going to feel on Sunday. You have to have a backup there.
Yeah.
You can't go into the game where potentially, you know, he thinks he feels good, and then the opening kickoff, he strains it, and you don't have a kicker the whole
right.
day. You've got to have confidence that this guy can prove that he's okay
right.
through multiple days and can go handle a bunch of stuff. And that's not where Randy felt. That's not where Darren felt. So now they need to see a full week of Bullock kicking and recovering. To get them to Sunday. And if they don't, Marshall will kick again and Bullock will stay on the roster until he's healthy. I mean, Marvin Lewis basically said, I thought Randy was going to be kicking last weekend.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. So for now, they still have two kickers, which is just great.
And Marshall Kane, man. Marshall Kane, I think we're going to learn a little more. He only had one opportunity. Made his extra point, drilled a dude on a kick return.
Big hit.
Good for Marshall. You know, so I guess we'll see a little more of that. And I don't know, Paul, I guess kickers don't have to kick all week long, but you miss Wednesday practice, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Other news. So Daron Smith was gone, came back, and then he threw up the deuces to the Bengals.
Yep.
He was, of course, kind of a surprise that they cut him.
Yeah.
On Saturday to make room for Marshall. They had their reasons, but whatever those reasons were did not leave Daron Smith too happy, it appears. He originally signed back on the practice squad when no one picked him up, and then this morning terminated his own practice squad agreement.
Yeah.
And said, I'm out.
Yep.
Enough. And we kind of talked about this both on and off air, and say, I didn't really understand why Daron Smith was the choice.
Right.
I look at Christian Westerman, who can't get active, who literally the option of having a quarterback possibly play receiver in case of a dire need situation
right.
was a better option than making Christian Westerman
right for all the issues
last year.
Right.
And he can't get active this year. They're rotating anybody that can play.
Right. He's the only one.
He's the only one that hasn't played, and he can't even get active.
Right.
But you're going to hold on to that dude over Daron Smith. At least Daron Smith's played and made some plays for you. He's been pretty good on special teams.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, the only thing I can think, if you want to connect some dots. So if you recall the great tight end tryout of a few weeks ago where it seemed like there were like 19 dudes here.
Yeah.
There were also a handful of safeties.
Yes.
And this is when Daron Smith was out with an ankle. So I don't know if there was a period of time where they thought Daron Smith might be an IR candidate. Because Brandon Wilson is sitting over there on the practice squad, recent draft pick, mysterious knee injury in camp. But he's been practicing and been playing, and a guy they traded up for. Say what you want about trading up for a sixth rounder. They did do it. He's part of a trivia question. So maybe they just felt, you know, once the kicker situation's resolved and the spot opens, they've got a guy they like better now.
Yeah.
I don't, you know what I mean?
Maybe maybe they feel like Brandon Wilson is showing really well in practice and figuring things out.
I mean, so we'll see. I'll say it right now on the BBP. I think that's what happens next. I think once the kicker situation's resolved, Brandon Wilson's on the 53.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll probably be inactive, but maybe he'll be
the one up.
Yeah,
if they need him. Wow.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit. We talked with Bill Lazor earlier in the week, Bengals offensive coordinator, after that stellar performance against Jacksonville. This was later on Monday. It was after we'd recorded the BBP on Monday, which I guess we technically haven't talked about. AJ Green not getting suspended. So those of you that listened to the BBP earlier in this week, where we said, yeah, he's going to have a game.
I'm shocked. I am stunned.
Yeah, I don't know how you get away with that. And people told me, well, he has no priors.
Yeah.
He missed half a game because they kicked him out before halftime.
Right.
Yeah. But did you see what he did?
I was gonna say.
I mean, I just, all I know is you can never feel comfortable in predicting any discipline with the league. I mean, how many times have we said that?
Yeah.
On both sides of it.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Vontaze getting five or whether it's AJ Green not getting any.
Right.
So Vontaze has a play that's questionable in nature during the game.
Right.
AJ Green throws a dude down twice and keeps punching him in the helmet.
Right.
AJ Green gets zero. AJ Green gets a half.
Right.
Vontaze Burfict originally gets five games. Now, I guess it all goes back to repeat offender status. That's a pretty big repeat offender status gap.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of, and this was sort of speculated about because there were a lot of fights Sunday.
Mike Evans got
a game.
And
Mike Evans is the only one suspended.
Yeah.
Of all the, but what I heard, while at least speculated about with the NFL types, was because Mike Evans was the only one not ejected.
Yeah.
And if that is some weird, because the NFL never talks about why they do things or don't, they don't talk about why they don't do things. So no one will ever get an explanation for AJ Green or Carlos Hyde or anybody else who was kicked out of a game Sunday. They were given an explanation for Mike Evans.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe that's it. Maybe that's kind of the marker because it's so difficult to get a player tossed from a game, you know, that maybe they just figure that in and of itself is enough.
I guess.
I am shocked though. Yeah.
Even with all of that, even if you're taking that into consideration, a double suplex, multi-punch thrown incident.
Yeah.
Ah, wow. And then, even furthering the story, Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
To quote Tom Petty, I won't back down.
No.
Double down, actually.
Yep.
Calls AJ Green weak and soft.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, then the haters surface.
Yeah.
And Andy Benoit from MQB, who we love, we've had on the podcast many times before, says, I've heard that around the league before. People think AJ Green is weak and soft.
Yeah.
18. Taking it on the chin a little bit this week.
And I called him the most overrated player of the first half, so I was just like, well, let's just pile it all on.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
You did pile on a little bit. But it's because the rating is so high. It's a matter of, in comparison to rating, to how people are thought of.
And it was really more about the position when you can't really, when the snap to throw doesn't work at all, and then sometimes a throw doesn't work. Yeah. A receiver, what can a receiver do? But I do find it curious, like the weak and soft. I mean, but this goes back to what we said a couple weeks ago with Le'Veon Bell tweeting about Joe Mixon. And Le'Veon Bell, and I mean, hey, hammer and a nail.
Yeah.
Jacksonville kicked their butt up and down the field. A.J. Green, yeah, you could say whatever you want about him punching a guy who didn't really do much back to him, but guess what? The best offensive player got kicked out of a game. His team had 30 yards offense after the half.
Yep.
And lost. So Jalen Ramsey, honestly, can say whatever he wants.
Winners write the headlines.
Yep.
And Tom Coughlin wrote a headline, too.
Yeah.
You know, the Jags executive vice president comes out and he tweets a full backing, supporting of Jalen Ramsey. Didn't do anything wrong. Shouldn't have been kicked out, blah, blah, blah. And so it all sort of piles up in the opposite direction against these guys. But, you know, Blake Bortles after the game, this was a quote. We didn't talk about this on Monday, but, he had a quote talking about, it's his chance to say, Vontaze said something during the week. Blake can't beat us.
Yep.
And he went out and did.
Yep.
And then he basically said, yeah, I see that, but, you know, we know they have a reputation for being like they were.
Yeah.
And we went out and we beat the crap out of them all up and down the field.
Yep.
When you win, when you shut them up, you're allowed to stand on the podium and say whatever you want. But this is kind of the reputation this team is getting.
Yeah.
Cheap, fake tough.
Yeah.
Getting their butts kicked when it matters.
Yeah, getting their heads.
Yeah. Well, that's been...
Yeah,
for a while now, right?
Yeah, but it was always sort of brushed aside with like, oh, it's just 24 and 55. While Skilberry's in that boat too, it's just certain guys on defense you can poke and prod. Well, guess what? Andre Smith got on a sportsmanlike conduct call for letting stuff be known.
Yeah,
you know, AJ Green of all people. So clearly, it's a thing, and you're going to see it all year long now.
Right. And it's because they know that frustration is building in these guys, and it's going to be even easier to set off the powder keg.
Oh, Monday night, Paul Brown at Steelers. Just wait.
Yikes. Yikes. Can I schedule turning Twitter off? Can I schedule that where from that Monday at 11:30 until the next day at like 7 p.m., I just want to mute. I'm going to need to mute everybody. It's going to be bad. You just know it. Hopefully, apathy and comedy will set in by that point. Okay, Bill Lazor.
Yeah.
We talked to you. We talked to him a little bit. He talked about looking for solutions and not knowing where those solutions are. Let's bring in him real quick. And I want to bring you some of the stuff that he talked about in response to what went down. So, all right, here's Bill Lazor.
Oh, all right. Pause. I probably feel like today, not because of losing, but just where we are, is I probably have less to offer you. I almost feel badly because I just trying to be very solution oriented. And look at, okay, this is where we are, and obviously whatever we did on the bye week, we should do opposite next year because it's come out from there and not gone real well as far as the run game in particular, but offensive production generally hasn't gone well. So I guess I'm spending so much time, more so than probably I have at other times, maybe because it kept me up more last night. Of thinking about the solution and thinking about what the future is, and those are obviously certain things I want to address. But yeah, it's very disappointing. It was as frustrating a second half as I can remember calling a game from the sideline, and I didn't add them up, but the feeling is that we had as many plays go backwards as go forward. Does that sound? I mean, again, I didn't add them up, but that might not be an exaggeration.
Yeah,
and that's really frustrating. And obviously, my hat's off to the Jacksonville defense, and they play fast. They played hard from the first play of the game. But, you know, I think they got a penalty on the first play for whatever doing too much. And but it's football, and we got to keep playing football, and we got to come out on top. And it was really frustrating.
when you talk about thinking about solutions, do you, when you're trying to figure out where to go next,
yeah,
are you focused more on maybe it's personnel changes, or do you feel like it's just a matter of getting the guys that are there to play a different way or with a different attitude, okay, or something like that?
I thought we had a physical week of practice, as physical, hardworking a week of practice as you can have in season in the NFL. I thought the guys responded to what they were asked to do as far as running the ball better. I thought all of our metrics from practice, the GPS numbers and everything that we have support that, as well as our eye watching the film. I thought they played really hard. And I thought the effort to play physical and to run the ball hard was there. But it's not just effort. You also have to do it right. And for me and for the coaches, like I said, I'm trying to be very, you know, at this point, I'm just trying to think of solutions all night.
All right, so Bill Lazor talks about he's looking for solutions. And we talked about this on Monday. It's just easy to look around this team and wonder where the solutions are coming from.
Right.
So you've sort of been digging into that this week.
Yeah, it's, you know, look, we're kind of going back and forth here with how poor these things are. But again, I don't like the division. I don't like the conference. And until they're officially eliminated, and they're close, this is the way football is. There's no tanking. There's no, like, mailing it in. I mean, they're going to hang. They're going to try to win games. And to do that, I think there are some things they can do. I think the first one is, you know, when Bill Lazor was hired, what was the directive? Score touchdowns, fix Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't scored touchdowns, but they fixed the quarterback. So now you need to fix A.J. Green.
Yeah.
And, look, there's one squeaky wheel on this team, and it's 18. I understand. I asked Andy. Andy didn't like me asking him what he felt about A.J. popping off about not getting the ball. But I think there is something to it of A.J. feels he can help them win. He's okay if he catches one ball and they win. He's not okay if he catches one ball and they lose. So I think Andy's just going to have to, you know, he's just going to have to throw in a double coverage.
He's already throwing it to somebody who's not open anyway.
Right. So right? Just give it to that guy. And just, you know what? And I understand Andy made the joke after the Buffalo game when AJ had a bad day and said, oh, you know, the interception's gone, my stats, ha, ha, ha. Well, you know what? At this point, you got to go back to, you know, you got to fix AJ, and that's give him 12 targets. And if he catches four of them, then you just say, you shrug your shoulders and say, okay, we tried it this way too. But you need, and who knows, it might work. So I think that's the first thing that needs to happen Sunday.
It's just so hard to do.
It is.
When teams know that that's your only option, so you have to deal. You know you're throwing in a double and triple coverage. You know that teams are giving all attention because they know that all you want to do is give A.J. Green the ball, and they know that they can single up everybody else.
Yeah.
That's been the problem here for the longest time, and that's a big part of the issue here. All right, let's quick – a couple other ones that we're looking at.
You know, I think offensively – there's that. It's you got to play John Ross. I don't care. I mean, we talked about this before. You wrote about this week about what's going on with him and Marvin, and everyone says he needs to practice football. That's fine. But we're at a point now where if you need to score points and do anything, play the kid.
The reluctance to create a 10 to 15 play package, if you're really worried about him not knowing the whole playbook, I just don't understand the reluctance to create a 10 to 15 play package that you know that he knows, that he can be focused on studying during the week, have all the options ready for, and go out there and run a few plays.
Right. And they keep trying to say they don't want to do that because they
– I don't understand.
Yeah, I think it's about winning a game. And, yeah, you know what? His 15 offensive snaps, you know what? You're just going to have to mitigate it. On special teams, and somebody else has got to have to carry the load. You know what
There's
I mean? Like
of
because
guys
Cody
that deserve
Corr,
to be inactive on this team,
right? You know what
so
I mean?
Concerned.
So I think you got to look. So there's that. I do think, you know, the sideline deep ball. You know, it's funny, Paul, because Andy, on you watch it and the ball goes out of bounds and it's not completed. And PFF actually, by the numbers, Andy Dalton's got a pretty good rating throwing the ball down the field, especially to the right side. Left side, we've seen a couple. Josh Maloney missed Cody Core early in the year, which you can maybe argue his receiver needs to make that play. I just think that's – but he's better in the middle of the field. This kind of goes back to the – like, yes, there's a single high up there. Yes, it's probably one on two. But, you know, it's really the – I mean, I think it's one of those things if you're going to pick your poison with a safety rolling over the top, you know, just take your shot in the middle of the field.
Yep. Defensively, I mean, maybe William Jackson could get some more snaps. You know, Vontaze Burfict, that maybe the middle experiment was a bad idea because he has not looked as effective the last couple weeks playing in the middle. He's had some bad missed tackles, things like that, and you need him to be better. You know, that the problem is there's not a whole lot of solutions.
Trying to think of things that are legitimately that you can do. That's the thing. You can't overhaul and change, you know what I mean? Like, we're past that point. I think these are things that legitimately can be applied and perhaps swing things for you.
Yep. All right, let's quick preview Tennessee here. The Titans, Marcus Mariota is a little banged up. He's not playing at 100%, so you're not going to see as much of the running quarterback stuff that he does, but he's still very solid in the pocket. Delanie Walker has been great for them, and the Bengals, as you know, can't cover a tight end.
Right.
So that could be an issue, a potential matchup hazard. They like to run the ball. They have not been running the ball as effectively as they would like to be. Right. In general, DeMarco Murray being hurt is a little bit part of that, but they're still going to get down out there, and they're going to not be afraid to pound it. That's going to be part of the deal, which has been part of the problem for these guys all year. Other side of the ball, you know, what does it matter? You can't block. It's like it's easy to have analysis of the other team. Jarrell Casey is a great pass rusher. He's a great pass rusher up the middle. That's going to be a problem for all the interior guys.
They have a safety who's got six interceptions.
And
so it's kind of counteracts some of my, like, just give AJ the ball and throw it in the middle of the ball. But, like, you know, that's other teams. You got to. And
they've
got to
take advantage of, you know, the corners that are on the outside. I mean, I think they can be had maybe a little bit.
You've got a rookie in Adoree Jackson.
Adoree Jackson, who John is a good friend with John Ross. We talked about John Ross about that when he came on Beyond the Stripes. But John Ross embarrassed him in college a couple times. AJ Green certainly could do that. They need that. As you know, it's all they've really got. So that brings us to prediction, which we have. I think it's going to sound pretty familiar.
Honestly, I went 23-10 last week, nearly hit it on the head, and I'm going to go the same thing this week, Paul. For all those bad things, I could see the Bengals winning a Buffalo-style, Colt-style game. Things go right, but I just, you know, I'm off the train, man. I Pittsburgh was it for me. They fell apart, and clearly, because it hasn't been the same since halftime in Pittsburgh in so many ways, and I just don't, until it happens, I'm probably going to roll with this type of score until they play Cleveland.
You know, you look at them offensively this year, they have not topped 20 points a single time on offense. Because the two times they have was because the defensive scores. The Dunlap pick six and the Wiljack pick six are the only times they've gone over 20. So to think they're going to go out there and suddenly go over 20,
no,
I don't think it's true. And I think they're going to go out there and stop the Titans from scoring, I think, is hard to see happening.
It'll
as well.
Be close and ugly, and then, you know, something will happen at the end of the game where they, you know, the Titans.
I have 2014 Titans for whatever that's worth. All right, let's move on to Optimistic Bobby because you guys need something to make you optimistic. So here is 50 West owner Bobby Slattery.
All right, it is that time to bring back Optimistic Bobby, 50 West owner Bobby Slattery. Bobby, how are we doing today? I think the Bengals fans, they need you.
Hootay, Paul. I'm still here, buddy.
You're still here. That was about a 2.5 second pause.
I know. It's a rough one. It was a rough game. No, am I wavering? Come on. You know what I say to all the wavering? Gotta remember the 90s. I remember being in the 90s and just being like, Jesus, it's week 8 and I'm already the games don't matter anymore. And we're not there. We're not even close to there. Like I said, you don't start getting upset till you get to 9 losses. So we're doing okay. There weren't a lot of positives to take away from last week's game. It was really sad, the whole thing. Not just the Bengals, just me from a personal level. I got up extra early.
Yeah.
Our cans are getting ready for 50 West. They're launching in February, but I had to go spec them. It was up in Chicago, my old stomping grounds. So, when I was at Chicago, me and a few guys helped organize this Bengals bar. It was at Kendall's at the time, but it's now at Kincaid's. It's fantastic. If you're ever in Chicago, you got to go there to watch the game. So I got up at 6:30 in the morning to drive up early to go watch the game at Kincaid's. And along the way there, I got a flat tire. It was like, oh, you're going to be kidding me. And then I sat on the side of the highway for 2 hours. I thought it was a good sign at the time. I was like, oh, this is a good sign. Nothing else bad can happen. It was a horrible sign. So, and then the guy who was supposed to be there, I couldn't get the tire off, and I had to call AAA, and they came out to help me. And long story short, instead of this glorious moment of watching it at Kincaid to watch this victory, it was very sad. I sat at a B-Dubs in Lafayette, Louisiana, with TV all to myself, just downing everything that I could possibly eat. Because as a game, I tend to eat more.
Yeah, that game on Sunday was the Lafayette B-Dubs of games. There's no doubt. That's a fitting connection between those two, I think.
I think that's fitting. And that's where you watched it at. That's how it felt.
Yes, it was. Well, I listened to scrambled radio because I was running behind and I had to make this decision of where I was gonna go, and Lafayette B-Dubs where I ended up. But it was a real sad, surprising amount of Rams fans in Lafayette B-Dubs. If you're a big Los Angeles Rams fan, yeah, who would have known? So as far as the positive takeaways, I mean,
yeah,
you know, Tyler Cross had a nice play, right?
Man. The Bengals have beaten optimistic Bobby down a little bit.
No, I'm not down. I'm not down.
You were sad. You're like talking about a single play. Of course, that's. But you know what? At least you're focusing on that one play. It was a nice play.
It was a nice play. Some good moves.
Yeah.
So that was it. So I guess you know, my hope is this Sunday, and I feel pretty confident about this, is I'm not going to get a flat tire. And I'm going to be watching it in a better spot than the B-Dubs in Lafayette, Indiana, all by myself.
Where are you watching? Are you going to be at your house? Don't recommend.
I have to figure out. It's all about my son. My wife, God bless her, watches our kids all the time, works a full-time job, and lets me live this dream of operating a brewery. So Sundays are usually with my son, who the easiest way to do it is at the house with both of us holding our stuffed cats. I can only keep his attention for a little bit, and then he goes and plays Legos. I don't know. Maybe I'll get down to 50. I'm hoping I can, but it's probably looking like at the house with the stuffed cats on the couch.
Sounds good. All right, what's your question? As I let that image just ingrained into my brain.
So my question for this week is one of the worst things I saw on Sunday had nothing to do with the play, but it had to do with football fans in Jacksonville sitting in a pool watching a football game. So what's your take? I mean, you've been around, you see all these different NFL stadiums. I really like to think that the fan base we have here in Cincinnati is dedicated and really excited about our team. So what's your guys' opinion? How would you rate the Cincinnati Bengal fan versus the average NFL fan that's out there? And let's use some cities. We can use Jacksonville as an example, since you guys were just there. And why don't we talk about Tennessee, the team you're going to go watch play this week?
Okay.
So that's my question.
So
I want your guys' opinion on how we rank.
How they are different or how they
compare. Fan commitment and experience at the games.
Okay. We can do that. We can do that. I like it. What's going on over there at 50 West? Brewing Q went down and was a success, I assume.
We killed it. It was awesome. Thank you to everybody that came out. It was super cool. Thank you to everybody from Great Lakes. They bring their whole crew down from Cleveland, and it was great. So we had a good time there. We're continuing our, next thing for us is we're going to be going into the Dayton market. If you're in Dayton, Ohio, get excited for 50 West Beers because they're coming next week. So I've been on a wild bender of bar crawl after bar crawl for the last, 2 weeks. So Dayton, here we come. We'll be coming in there on Monday, and you can expect to get some draft beer up in Dayton from 50 West.
So are you doing a Monday bar crawl?
We have a Monday bar. We're doing a Monday bar crawl throughout Dayton. We got a pedal wagon. We're gonna be pedal wagging our way from bar to bar. It's gonna be pretty awesome. So our team's excited about it.
You'll see a lot of Monday bar crawls. You gotta be having a bad start to your week.
No, it's good. Just hanging out, drinking 50 West beer. People are all excited when you get there. It's like oh my God, you're finally here. It just makes it harder as the week goes on. That's why Sundays it's harder for me to justify to my wife that I'm going to go down to the brewery and drink and watch the Bengals game, and I end up sitting with my son watching it with stuffed cats on the couch.
I love it. All right, Bobby, I appreciate it. Of course, we will talk to you next week, and for your sake, I hope that there isn't a 2.5-second pause and that maybe you're opening up with a very loud today for your sake.
God. 4 and 5 is going to be great. I can already picture it. Sunshine and rainbows. All right, we'll talk next week. We'll see you, Paul.
See you, Bob. Bye.
Who today?
Okay, so Bobby's question to us is about fans and how the fan experience, is what it's like here in comparison to other places, using Jacksonville and Tennessee as an example. But you do a lot of driving and you love bad sports radio. Not bad sports radio, but usually local sports radio.
Yeah, because it really you want to take time. There's a fan base. Look, we have our friend Mo Egger, mm-hmm. who's been on this podcast, is that's what they do. And you can drive from here to Minnesota and it's the same stuff. In Green Bay, no line, no creativity on offense. We can't score. We can't get off the field on third down. Everybody is fired. And, yes, it coincides with the loss of Aaron Rodgers because guess what? He's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen. And when you have a Hall of Famer who arguably, in my opinion, is in the top handful to ever play the position in this league, you can get away with it. Now they can't, and they suck. And that's how their fans feel. Trust me, it's like carbon copy.
Yeah.
Come down the list, Chicago, slightly more optimism because of the number 2 overall draft pick, Mitchell Trubisky. They don't have an offensive line either.
Yeah.
Their center has played every position, but I think left tackle. Defensively, we got some young pieces, and they're good. And I mean, literally the same. Indianapolis, Andrew Luck. At one point, I'm not kidding you, I was in the car when I heard, maybe Jacoby Brissett, who's this guy? Do we really need Andrew? That actually came up.
Yeah.
And now with whatever's going on with ownership, I mean, they can't protect either. They don't do the right things. They don't put, at least up the chain and here in the Midwest, Paul. And what's the common theme? Losing.
Losing. Losing and quarterbacks.
Yes.
The biggest difference is there is this other element in the pit of Bengals fans' stomach, and that is the owner and the anger towards the owner.
Yeah,
that I think changes. That's not necessarily the case everywhere, and it's this ultimate default of no matter how, even if things are going well, there's still this anger of because it always directs that. I think that's that's the biggest difference.
Yeah.
That I see is there's that extra,
historical.
thing that's out there. It's like legacy hate.
Yeah.
That's always out there. And then and Marvin has become that too.
Yeah.
Because he's been here for so long.
Right.
There's the stale factor of that, and all 0-7 is what it is.
Yeah.
Deservedly so. So that's the difference. Other than that, Bengals fans are similar to everyone else. They're happy when they're winning, they're pissed when they're losing, and demand change when they're losing.
Right.
I don't think that they're that different.
No, you honestly
you know, they,
could cut.
But they, you know what they're missing? Bengals fans haven't had that moment. Now, a lot of other fan bases haven't had that moment too, but haven't had that moment to feel like they're getting really getting rewarded
right.
for the time and
right.
money and energy spent. They almost had it in 2015, and it turned into the opposite. But you need that moment to keep you coming back. I think that's where the Bengals fans are missing. They haven't had what they felt like is the reward. The reward has never come.
Yeah, or hasn't been for a while. I mean, look, Buffalo, 10 head coaches, 17 years with no playoffs. Trust me.
That's why they drink so much.
Yeah. I mean, look, 1990 or 1991 or four,
the
four whatever
Super
the
Bowls.
Four.
Yeah, with
guess what?
Yeah.
That's just after 88.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm telling you, the Bengals have played the Bills the last 2 years. They would trade their last 20 years for Cincinnati's in a heartbeat.
Of course.
So, it's just...
That doesn't mean either situation is good.
No, but it's just that, I mean, to Bobby's point, though, it you can literally take it and lay it over things in other cities where their team isn't winning. And you don't have Drew Brees, Tom Brady, or Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. Welcome to the NFL. You have a quarterback or you have angry fans.
Yep.
One of the two. All right. Let's wrap it up. So we, of course, are going to Nashville. Excited.
Yeah.
I think us and maybe everyone else in Cincinnati. I mean, it is going to be unbelievable. The amount of people and groups I've heard from that are going down to Nashville, it's obviously a great trip.
Yeah.
So easy drive, fun city, all those things. Best roadie of the year, I think, by far, in my opinion. So we look forward to seeing you down there. Hopefully you've been listening to this on your way down.
Yeah.
If you see us on the road, honk. Not too loudly, though. I don't frighten the driver, honk, but say hello. If you see us down there, wave. We're always happy to talk football, talk Bengals, have a drink, say hello.
Yeah.
All that stuff. So anyway, we'll be back next week. Again, BTS, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. George Iloka will be our guest at the Holy Grail Banks. Come on down there. And then the BVP, of course, will be back next week. Keep checking Cincinnati.com. Make sure you have our Bengals app. And remember, live BBP in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Live BBP at 50 West Brewing Company in 3 weeks. That's the weekend of the Steelers Monday night game. Jim and I and Optimistic Bobby will be there for a live segment. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll hang out afterwards, take questions, get all the good off-the-record stuff. It's going to be a really good time. So mark that on your calendar. Come down to 50 West on November 30th. We'll be down there. We're really looking forward to that event. It's going to be a lot of fun. So anyway, here's Chris Smith on the hot seat with Paul Daugherty. We will talk to you later. Have a good one, everybody.
All right, we are back on Beyond the Stripes. We call this segment the hot seat.
Yes, sir.
It's not real hot.
Yeah.
I'm pretty easy most of the time. And you, Chris Smith, are on it. You are from Mount Ulla, North Carolina.
Well, that's the problem.
That's
a lot of people think. A lot of people think I'm from Mount Ulla. That's where my high school was.
Okay.
I'm from Salisbury, North Carolina, though.
You're from Salisbury.
Yeah.
That's a big city compared to Mount Ulla.
Yeah. A little bit bigger.
Well, see, I had all these questions about Mount Ulla, and you just kind of shot those to hell.
That's my high school, though. I love West Rowan.
Why didn't you go to high school in Salisbury? It's a bigger place.
Well, I mean, Salisbury, actually, it's a smaller town. It's kind of weird. It's a smaller town, but it's got like six or seven schools in it.
Yeah.
So it kind of like, I mean, a lot of things, like since it's a smaller town, you'd be on the line. So you could go to like this school or that school and stuff like that. So it's kind of weird how Salisbury's set up. But
how did you end up in Arkansas?
Man, it was crazy. I always wanted to play in the SEC. I never had a favorite NFL team growing up or stuff like that, but I always wanted to play in the
You're
SEC.
You're in the heart of ACC.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing I'm saying.
University of North Carolina.
Nobody ever offered me until I committed to Arkansas,
which
was crazy. I didn't pick up like NC State and Duke until I actually played, in December in the Shrine Bowl in high school and stuff like that. So, I always wanted to play in the SEC, and when I went to Arkansas, I just fell in love with it, and they said somewhere I could come in and play as a freshman. So I was loyal, stuck to my commitment.
Can you do the whole pig suey thing?
Oh, man. I mean,
would you like to do that? We'd like to hear that, I think.
Oh, my God. I got to do it now?
Yes, you
I
do.
Got, okay.
That's why they call it the hot
Well, actually, I'm going to do it because we beat Ole Miss. And Coastal Carolina even had a nail biter with them. So it's actually, when you go out there for the games, coming out there for one more, it's, pig suey. So
is that what you do?
Kind of weird, but they do it a lot better than what I do. But
now, I got to tell you, do you feel a little silly saying that?
At first it is, but like when you're going in, especially when we play LSU,
yeah,
something like that, I mean, the crowd is crazy. Like, it's nothing like a Razorback friend. You are the pro team when you go to Arkansas. So, you're like, no, it's
we can take that a few different ways now, Chris.
Yeah, that's true. That's
being
true.
The pro team in Arkansas. Yes, sir. Do you like bacon?
Bacon? Yeah, I do. I do like bacon.
I mean, you got to like bacon playing for the Razorback.
I mean, I do. My girlfriend's trying to get me off of pork and stuff because it's not good for you. But it's good, though.
It's the best food on the planet,
I think. Being from the South, yeah.
That's right. You had 21 and a half sacks at Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
Spin move, favorite move?
Yes, sir.
Will you stop calling me sir?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You make me feel really older than I am.
That's my manners. That's my manners.
I understand, but don't. It makes
my mom might be watching this, so.
Yeah, my name's my Paul, not sir.
But, I didn't start spinning really to going into my senior year.
Yeah.
So my go-to move was, like, basically just speed rush, like chop, dip, rip. That was my go-to move. So the
chop,
move,
dip, rip.
Yeah, chop, dip, rip. So It would just go. If you see the hand, just dip on them.
Right.
You know, and then I incorporated that like as a counter move. So when they would overset me, I would, you know, spin inside. And then first year, I said my rookie year, second year, I started incorporating the outside spin too.
Now, you ran a 4.7140.
Yes, sir.
How does that help a D lineman?
When Jacksonville had drafted me, at the time, he's a defensive coordinator now, but Todd Wash, when I came in, he was like, we were talking about 40s in one defensive line meeting, and he said, oh, we didn't even look at your 40. We just looked at your 10 as a D lineman. So it was all about get off and stuff. So I was like, man, yep, y'all had me training for this 40 at IMG, trying to do all this and that, and then you're just looking at 10 yards. So, you know, that was the main thing as a defensive lineman. Well, they look at the get off.
Yeah.
An explosion and stuff like that.
I've said that forever. Why do they even time linemen in the 40-yard dash?
Yeah, because if you're running 40 yards down the field, there's something wrong. Unless a lineman, you're running for a touchdown, somebody done scored or something.
Who spins as well as anybody in the league right now?
Spins as well as anybody in the league. Man, Freeney, ain't he with the Seahawks now?
Freeney.
Yeah, Freeney. Yeah. He still got it, man. Like, and the thing about it is, I was watching
him. And he's built like you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a little bit more bulkier, but, like, I mean, they know us. The offensive linemen know it's coming. Like, this is one thing to, like, you can't stop a move when you know it's coming and you still can't stop it. I think he's still got it, man. The best spinner.
Have you ever watched old Soul Train reruns of The Temptations doing the spin?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite movies, Temptations. Yeah.
That's
one of my favorite movies. That's what the white friend he looked like. I mean, and think about it, he jumps with his spin, too. So it's like.
It's a jump spin.
Yeah, like a jump spin. Like an ice skater.
He's really talented.
Yes, sir.
What else do I got? Since half of my show was about the fascination with the name of your hometown. let's talk about some of your guys across the line. What is the coolest thing about Geno Atkins?
The coolest thing about Geno, as far as a football player, person.
Not as a football player. We know that. We can see that.
Yeah. Geno. Man, like I said, man, he's a secret comedian, man. He always.
What makes him funny? You say he's a comedian.
Man, like, think about it. Like, he always, like, joking with the young guys and stuff like that and making videos and stuff like that.
He makes videos.
Yeah, making videos of us and stuff. We just. Like, joke around
goofing
and stuff.
Around.
Always just goofing around. He's the jokester, man.
Okay.
He's the jokester of the D-line, man. I didn't know that at first, but, like, Geno's good news,
we still
man.
Don't know
That's breaking news. I'm sorry, Geno. I'll say everybody know now. Everybody know.
Carlos Dunlap. What is the coolest thing about Carlos Dunlap?
Carlos, I was sad to say I like Carlos' choices in cars. His cars.
His
I like
cars.
Them. Yeah. I think we got the same, like.
Yeah. Like, doesn't he have that truck that's about 50 feet off the ground?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
He needs an elevator.
I got here, he drove it. I think y'all almost ran me over.
Right.
But, like, you can, like, walk up under that thing. Yeah.
You can walk up under it.
I like his choice. I never told him that. I always like. I think I told him that one time, but I like his choice. He's a very smooth guy when it comes
to smooth.
Cars. Yeah,
smooth with that truck. Yes, Michael Johnson.
Michael Johnson. I would call Michael Johnson like kind of like the dad of our group.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of people don't know this. I had met Michael Johnson because he trained. He had a when our strength coaches, they were real close. So he trained in Arkansas my senior year, and I actually met him and stuff like that. And Michael Johnson, like, he's one of those that helps out everybody.
Yeah.
You know, as far
I can
as,
see that.
You know, making for me making the move inside, you know, rushing his D tackle, man, he helped me out tremendously. He does that with everybody.
Are you cool?
Am I cool?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a smooth guy. I would say because I'm laid back.
Yeah.
I'm very laid back. I'm a jokester and stuff like that. That's about it. And I love clothes.
You love clothes?
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at you right now. We're talking. You got those teeth. What do you do to those teeth? Because they're absolutely the whitest teeth
them.
I've ever seen. Has anybody ever said that to you? No kidding.
No, they never said that to me or whatever like that.
Have you ever heard of a Pepsodent smile?
Yeah, I have heard of that.
Okay, well, it looks like a Pepsodent smile.
Yeah, man, I just brush my teeth. Actually, I didn't, and this is bad, I haven't been to the dentist.
Don't even tell me.
It's like, it's probably like a year and a half.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I know people longer than that, so I don't feel bad.
Genetics are a good thing.
Yeah, genetics are a good thing.
I hate you. what or whom would you miss most if you left the earth today?
I would say my kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I go out there and do it for, you know. I would say my daughter and my son.
Yes, okay. Sir. What's the most embarrassing thing you've done on a football field?
Most embarrassing thing? Or somebody done to me?
No, that you've done, that you say, oh, my God.
I would have to say, I mean, I couldn't see it come. I got cracked back one time, I say, in college. I saw the quarterback running, and actually a receiver came out of nowhere and just wham.
A little guy just rammed you.
And I just went flying. It felt like I went flying, you know, and everything. So I would say that's the, like, most embarrassing.
Who is the most who is the one non-football person in the whole world right now that you would most like to sack?
I would most like to sack. Non-football. Oh, that's a good one.
It is a pretty good one, isn't it? I thought about that for
football.
A while.
How can I say that? Non-football. Can I say LeBron?
You can say whatever you like.
LeBron?
Yeah, LeBron. This isn't Cleveland. Yeah. We don't like Cleveland.
Can I say that LeBron? I would say that LeBron.
Why? Yeah. Why LeBron?
I don't know. Like, because, I mean, I seen, like, I got a little documentary on him when he played football and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And how athletic and stuff he was. So it just, like. Second LeBron probably be.
Oh, it's not because you really don't like him. It's
I love him as well. He's a great athlete. So.
Okay, be more of a respect thing than a dislike thing. Do you watch television?
Yes, sir.
What do you like on television? Don't call
my
me
favorite
sir.
TV shows. I'm sorry. My favorite TV shows is Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I love that show. I can watch that all day.
That's an old school show.
Yeah, old school. I love old school. Empire.
Empire.
That's an updated one.
Yeah.
Let me see. Empower. I like power. Yeah.
There's a theme here. Empire and power.
Yeah.
Prince.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think there could ever be a Real Housewives of Mount Ulla?
Nah.
Probably not.
Nah, it's too small. I heard they're finna start, actually got a crib in Charlotte. I heard they're finna start something with Charlotte Housewives.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something like that. That's what I heard. That's the talk.
The Real Housewives of Charlotte.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good one.
What kind of person deserves your respect?
What kind of person deserves my respect? I don't know. Hold on. Which way? You know, you're talking about, just anybody or on the football field?
Just generally, what kind of person do you look at and say, that's it?
That's it?
That's maybe not necessarily who you want to be, but that's how people should be.
Who should earn my respect?
Yeah. Do you want me to skip that question and go on to the next
one? Let me think about that.
We got the speed round now.
Let's go to the next one on that.
What scares you? What are you afraid of?
Not being great.
Not being great.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that.
Is there anything physical? Like clowns, I could never watch.
Like any physical
it,
like
you know?
That? Yeah. I hate rats.
Well, everybody hates rats.
Oh, I hate rats. Yeah. I cannot stand them.
Scare you.
Like spiders and stuff, I can deal with those, but like rats and mice, I can't do that.
All right, in what situation in life are you most confident?
Most confident? I say being a father.
Yeah.
Yeah, being
now,
a father.
Now, see, I thought naturally you'd say on the football field.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, yeah. I'm
but
confident
you're most
there.
Confident
yeah.
being a father.
Yeah, being a father.
That's a very nice thing to say.
Yes, sir.
I like that. You call me sir again. All right. What kind of person deserves your respect?
I don't know. I feel like on the football field, like, I mean, I feel like I want people to, like, deserve my respect on the football field, the type of player I am. I mean, when you match up against me each and every week, you know, you gotta deal with number 94. Like, I never told none of the guys this, but, you know, when I go out there and play, you know, the next team is watching the next week whoever we play.
Sure.
So that's one thing about it. I want the coach to go in there the first thing in the morning and be when he goes, or the offensive line coach, offensive coordinator, when he goes in there to the offense and be like, we got to deal with 94.
Yeah, we got to account for this guy.
Yeah, we got to account for this guy. So I want to earn, I feel like people deserve my respect, you know, around the league.
Yeah.
You know? Yes, sir.
Do you have any? Sir, do you have anything?
I can't stop saying it.
Yeah. Do you have anything you'd like to ask me?
Let's see.
I don't have to worry about you. You're
a
good guy.
See, okay. Since you don't like me calling you sir, how old are you?
How would you? I like.
Yeah. How old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah. See, now I put him on the spot.
Man.
I'm real on the spot now, man.
You were doing good until you asked
me that. You can skip that question.
You were doing good. No, I expect my guests to answer every question, so I'll answer. I will be 60 on New Year's Eve.
Oh, man, I want to guess that.
Thank you.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you. We will end that on a good note. Chris Smith, you are off the hot seat.
Yes, sir.
We will be back with more on Beyond the Stripes, presented by JosephAuto.com.